Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is 10 o'clock and the hearing is now open. I hope everyone can hear me clearly, but if anyone has any difficulty at any time, please let me know. If you have a mobile phone, please ensure it is switched off or on to silent mode throughout the course of the hearing. My name is Heidi Cruikshank and I've been appointed by the Secretary of State to examine the A30 Chiverton to Carlin Cross scheme. My colleague Sian Evans is with me today. She's here to assist us all. If you need any help, please speak to her at the back of the room. The application reference number is TR010026, and information about the application is on the National Infrastructure Planning website with dedicated pages for the project. So just to let you know that there is Wi-Fi available through the hotel, and there is the toilets are through the door there. In terms of fire instructions, we're not expecting any fire tests today. And if you find a fire, please leave the room and activate the fire alarm. If you hear a fire alarm, then you leave the building using the closest fire exits, and located in the fire assembly is on the grass lawn in the front of the hotel. Do not run, it says do not use the lift, but we're downstairs, so hopefully that isn't an issue. Do not collect personal belongings. Thank you. So this hearing relates to the Chibucca Junction. It's likely to take us to around about lunchtime, and I'll look for a mid-morning break at an appropriate time. If you do need to stretch your legs before the end of the hearing, please feel free to do so. But please bear in mind that too much noise may distract people speaking, so be considerate in coming and going from the room. In the interest of openness and fairness to all parties, I would appreciate it if people would not attempt to engage me in any form of conversation during adjournments. It is not that I'm being unfriendly, simply that... we're just sorting out the screen, sorry. Not that I'm being unfriendly, it's just that everyone should hear what's being said to me and I'm not engaged in private conversation with just one party. So having said that, it's important that you understand that this hearing is being recorded, and that means that you consent to the retention and publication of the recording. We will only ask for information for the public record relevant to the decision. To avoid the need to edit recordings, please do your best not to say something in the hearing that you wish to be kept private and confidential. If required, then such information can be submitted in writing. When you speak, please can you use the microphone, and every time you speak, give me your name so that it's on the recording. I won't do so. I'm sure people will be more than used to my voice by the end of this process. Can I just ask if there's anyone else who's intending to film or record today? Thank you. So I'd just like to make you aware that Highways England are live casting the hearing into an adjacent room. So that's the view that they have. And the room, I think, is the one just out there, is it? Yeah. So when you go out to the toilets, then you'll be able to see where the recordings are going to or the live casting is going to. So just to make you aware that that's happening. So what I'd like to do is to take the names of those who are going to speak today. If you are intending to speak and you're in the back of the room, if you'd like to come forward onto the table here, then please do so. And we'll start on this side and go around the table. So if I can start here as to who's going to speak. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam. Julian Boswell, solicitor and partner with Burgess Salmon, representing Highways England. I'll just introduce our team, if that's okay. So to my right is Ross Cullen, who's the design lead for the project with ARUP. To my left, my immediate left, is Tom Metcalf, who's the traffic lead with ARUP. And to his left is Michael Baker, who's the planning lead with ARUP. Later on, we're likely to hear from Alan Pitt, who's focusing on the business impacts. And there are others from the team behind me, including Josh Hodder, who is the overall project manager for the project from Highways England.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Boswell. Coming round to here.
My name is Christopher Tofts. I'm a solicitor with Stephen Scone, and I act for Sam Parker, who's sat next to me.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Rick Clayton. I'm representing Cornwall Council Highways and Transportation. Behind me I have Ben Kerno from our legal department, and to my right is Toby Clayton, who is a graduate placement with us for some of the work experience.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the room who feels that they may wish to speak today? Do you want to come forward and take a seat at the table here? If you press the button on there and then introduce yourself, you'll...
Name's Alistair Wright, proprietor of Truro Sawmills, which is on the road next to the junction.
And Mr. Wright, have we heard from you previously? Have you had engagement with the process and written
just,
in?
I've just been to the meetings. I'm just curious as to find out more about the proposal for the junction.
Right, okay. And is your land directly affected?
It is. We employ 20 staff and process about 7,000 tonnes of timber grown in Devon and Cornwall, which requires access with 40-tonne lorries. We have approximately 30 to 40 traffic movements per day on and off the site, employ 20 staff. And access for our raw material and for our process material is important to the actual running of the business.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Wright, what I will ask you to do during one of the adjournments is to speak to Ms. Evans, who's at the back of the room, so that she has your contact details, so that we've got all that information. Are Highways England clear on where this sawmills is and how that fits in?
Julian Boswell for Highways England. I think we are clear, obviously, where Mr. Wright's business is based, but we don't think that it's directly affected in the sense that we're taking any of his land.
Right, okay, thank you. All right, thank you. So thank you, Mr. Wright. We'll involve you in the process as we go along. So can I just check, are there any questions about the arrangements as to how we're going forward today? You've all had copies of the agenda. And are aware of where we're going. Okay. So what I'd like to do firstly, I'd like to ask, so that we all know exactly what we're talking about, I'm going to ask Highways England to clarify the proposal under the DCO at present. And just to be clear, we are working now to revision D, is that correct? And that would be Rep 3007. So I think that would be our most sensible way forward, and if you could introduce who is able to take us through that. I've been referring to the general arrangement and section plan, which is Rep 3006, sheet 3 of 8, but I don't know if there's another plan that you feel may be more appropriate in order to just highlight what the process is proposed to be through the DCO.
Julian Boswell for Highways England. We agree that that's probably the best plan to get up, which we're trying to get up now.
Thank you.
So I think you're just asking us to explain what we mean, how the junction is intended to work, the new junction is intended to
Absolutely,
work.
Absolutely, yes. Just so that we're all quite clear as to how that junction is proposed at present and what the outcome of that would be at this stage.
Expand that. Perhaps shift it a little to the left. Or what do you need, Ross? I'm going to ask Mr. Cullen to talk us through it.
Thank you.
Ross Cullen for Highways England. Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, Madam Inspector, would it be useful just to sort of, just in terms of the location of where the junction is in the wider context, if that would be useful before we get into the detail?
Yes.
So this is obviously a Google Maps image. So just to say, this is the full extent of the proposed scheme between Beijing Chiverton down here, Chiverton Cross and Carlin Cross here in at the eastern end, and the existing Chaibucker Junction is between the A30 main line and the B3284 side road, which is towards the western end of this section of the A30. Just to confirm the existing Chaibucker Junction is an at grade staggered priority junction, like I say, between the A30 main line and the B3284 side road, and to say that the main traffic movements through this junction would be from West Cornwall and Truro. So, as we're saying, in terms of the proposed Chaibucker Junction, which is as submitted with the draft ECO, so this is a restricted movement junction between A30, the new A30 dual carriageway, the B3284 side road, and also the retained existing A30, which will become part of the local road network with Cornwall Council. This is the B3284 here. So the B3284 would be realigned and then pass over the top of the new dual carriageway, the new dual carriageway here passing underneath, and then continue on down into Truro, with two new roundabout junctions. So it's what's called a dunbell junction arrangement, with two new roundabouts that would then tie into the on and off slips from the west-facing on and off slips from the new dual carriageway, and also tie into the retained existing A30, which will be running parallel for the full length of the new scheme. So yeah, importantly, the in terms of the slips, we're providing for an eastbound off slip, which is here into this northern roundabout, and a westbound on slip from this roundabout joining westbound onto the new dual carriageway. In terms of levels, just to explain, so the dual carriageway as it passes through this junction is close to ground level at grade. So the new junction, as it passes over the top of the dual carriageway, will be onto embankment, in the region sort of 7 to 10 meters of embankment. So yeah, the new roundabout, the link up and over, will all be on quite significant embankment, with the realigned B3284 and the existing A30, on locally onto embankment to sort of climb up to those levels.
Thank you. And in terms of for traffic continuing to the east or coming from the east, how far is it that they would stay on the retained A30 before they're then able to join the proposed new road, or into the dual carriageway, should I say?
Sorry, Madam Inspector. So coming from the east.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Just can you?
So if we've got traffic which is wanting to access the traffic that would normally perhaps be coming off and going from the east onto the B3284,
yeah,
how far back does that join from the new carriageway?
Yeah, so as you're saying, so coming from the east, with the new scheme, the obviously the B3284 routes up to Perranporth here, mm-hmm, to the north. So the coming from the east now, the traffic would go off at Carlin Cross, run down the realigned existing A30 to the Box Eater Junction, and then travel up the B3285. through Gunarvan, towards Gunarvan, and then route up this way to Newquay, or continue on down to over to Perranporth. The other option could be to continue to go down the new dual carriageway, continue down to the new Chiverton junction, and then go up the A3075.
Okay.
Is it just to add, if it's worth, so in terms of the other movement that I mentioned through the, which is obviously down into Truro, traffic coming from the east going south into Truro would obviously, you know, as they currently do, come off at Carlin Cross and then route down the A39 down into Truro. Sorry, Madam Chair, was it worth clarifying in terms of the other direction, if you like, coming mm-hmm. from Perranporth, looking to go back east?
Yeah.
Yeah, so as you say, either, you know, if the, for the traffic coming towards the Chidebucker Junction, they would join the existing A30. Like I say, they'll be maintained as a parallel route, and then they would run down the existing A30 and join at Carlin Cross. Or the other option, of course, is to come down the B3285 and join the existing A30 at Boxeter, and then carry on and join the dual carriageway at Carlin Cross. So either way, that traffic would use the realigned existing A30 that will be maintained as a local road in parallel to the dual carriageway.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Toft, in terms of where Mr. Parker's businesses are located, are you able to just assist me as to the questions that have been raised in terms of that business and access to the east, to and from the east? Can you just clarify where the businesses are located and how that access is important? Yes, of course.
Hi there, yes. Sam Parker from Colestic Farm. So our main business is at Colestic, which is just above where your cursor is there now. We also own the farm on Chidebucker Junction. We run business from there as well.
And so in terms of your access, you would be, as has been mentioned by Mr. Cullen, you would be travelling on the old A30, which effectively you're using now in any event.
Yep.
And so I'm unclear as to how that would negatively impact your business if you're continuing to do what you've already done. Can you just clarify that for me?
So we would have up to sort of 20 vehicle movements a day off the A30, HGVs, and our own delivery fleet. With the new proposed scheme, they'd have to come off at Chidebucker, cut across, sorry, they'd have to use the old road to Chidebucker, cut across to the 3075, to then come back towards Penhallow and into Colestic. Obviously, with HGVs using the existing route, it just seems to make sense that actually, for the sake of extra slip roads, those vehicles will be able to access the A30, or the new A30, a lot more directly. There's also passing trade from tourists. We have a shop at the farm. If they're travelling on the new A30, there's no way of them exiting to cut across to us at Chidebucker. So once they've gone past to the new Chiverton roundabout, it's highly unlikely they'll come back. A lot of our tourists come in as an impulse when they're passing, an impulse visit, which is likely to be decreased if they can't actually get off at the Chidebucker Junction.
Mum, there's a point which I don't know if it's been fully recognised yet. Yes, this is a discussion about having east-facing slips at Chidebucker, but it also means that all of the other existing junctions, Maresme Vaux, St Frieda, etc., will also not be available on the new A30. So traffic will have come to Calistoc via those junctions. Now, when they're on the new A30, there's no option but to go all the way to Chiverton Cross and passing traffic that would have come off at St Frieda, etc., towards Calistoc will no longer have that option. And as Mr Parker says, once they're passed, they don't go back.
Thank you. I'm just finding we're getting feedback on a late echo from the microphones. I'm not sure whether that's something that the sound system can look at, because it's quite distracting. It sounds like somebody's talking a second later. So if you can just have a look at that. Thank you. So in terms of what would be used, I know that Short Lanes End has been identified as an area where, due to the changes to the junctions, that there would be greater traffic running through Short Lanes End. But I understand from the council's perspective at the moment, from the Statement of Common Grounds and the local impact report, that you are in agreement with Highways England about the lack of east-facing slips. Is that still the case?
Yes, that's correct. We accept Highways England's technical analysis and their position.
Thank you. Thank you. So, and just in terms of the what I'm going to call the rat run concerns, because that is what people have do tend to call it, is Short Lanes End the only area where we're seeing that concern? Mr. Clayton, I'm going to ask you, because you're the more local person in terms of knowing about traffic flows, but obviously Highways England, if you have any comments, is there anywhere else where you are have concerns?
Yeah, Rick Clayton for Cornwall Council. Yes, Short Lanes End is the area where we've identified significant increases on the flows as a result of the scheme, with the route that the B road there through Short Lanes End becoming a more attractive route into central Truro. There are other some of the side roads that I'm just thinking off the top of my head, I think a couple of the side roads that could increase as well in the area, but not to the same degree. Even though it's a large percentage increase, it's not a large volume increase, if that makes sense.
Okay. Does Highways England have any comments in relation to Short Lanes End? We're going to come on to traffic flows more properly later, but is there anything in terms of that area that, or any other areas that you wanted to raise at this time?
I'm going to ask Mr. Metcalf to respond.
Thank you.
Tom Metcalf on behalf of Highways England. Yeah, I just add to that that the west facing slips allows access to the road, the B3284 to Short Lanes End from the A30 from the west of Cornwall, which provides relief to the Chiverton Cross roundabout. So that explains that rat run and why we see that increase in traffic there. As Mr. Clayton from Cornwall Council referred to, there are some other links where we, in some peak hour scenarios, we do see some increases in traffic flows. I think the main link that Mr. Clayton was referring to was the route down from Zeela, which we see on the plan there, down towards Short Lanes End, where those trips join the route into Truro and the car parks in that area of Truro, where that route meets, gets into Truro Town Centre. We also see that traffic coming on that route is gathering the trips as they come into Truro from the area to the north that we see there. So that explains where those trips are coming from and going to.
Thank you. And am I right in thinking that it was the A39 is actually seeing a decrease in traffic with the Do Something?
Overall, it sees a decrease in traffic with the scheme in place.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wright, I'm just going to ask you, You mentioned earlier when you were introducing yourself so that we knew where you were. Would you be able to just clarify for me, so I can take some notes as to where your business is in relation to this? And apologies if you're repeating yourself, but just if you could explain where the sawmills is situated.
Yeah, the business is located on the junction between the Newquay Redruth Road and the B3284. We are about 1 mile away from the proposed junction, or 1 mile away from Chibucca at the moment.
Okay. And so your concerns are similar to Mr. Parker's in terms of your access?
A major concern is that the once the new A30 is built, that the existing A30 doesn't have traffic calming measures and it remains to be HGV friendly, and that things like cycle paths and whatever are not, and the road calming and all that sort of thing isn't used to slow the traffic down on that road. We can still gain access to the business via the old A30 as we do now. But we need some sort of reassurance that Cornwall Council won't make that road any smaller or slower than it is now. Otherwise, we will be have problems with vehicles gaining access to the site.
Okay, thank you. Now, Mr. Clayton, you can assist us here as to the plans in relation to the existing A30 once... if the proposal goes through, are you able to give us some information on that? I'm aware that there will be some areas where it is proposed to slow traffic, for example, in Marazan Vaux. Perhaps you can assist us.
Yeah, Rick Clayton for Cornwall Council. In our local impact report, we have outlined our strategy for how we would like the road to be downgraded effectively. This is our aspiration. We've not yet reached agreement on the implementation or the funding of these measures with Highways England. The council's strategy is set out, and essentially we'd be looking to downgrade the easternmost section to a B road, which would be from Carlin to Box Heater, and we would like that to operate under a 50 mile an hour limit. And then from Box Heater going west, we'd be looking to generally operate the road as under a 40 mile an hour limit with the section of 30 through Marazan Vaux, and also on the approaches to realigned alignment at Box Heater. These changes would slow the traffic down, and we remain concerned that just de-trunking the road and leaving it at a 60 mile an hour limit would create conditions with much lower flows of traffic that would raise some safety issues around speeding and inappropriate use of the road, but it will still be maintained as a minimum 6.1 width carriageway that would be suitable for use by HGVs and deliveries, albeit they would have to drive slightly slower than the current speed limits, although, as I think the analysis shows, the journey times would be improved on the current situation.
And in terms of the distance that we're talking about there, is anyone on either side able to just confirm roughly the mileage that we're talking in terms of travelling on the existing A30, which would then be detrunked?
Rick Clayton for Cornwall. I think the total length of the section is around 14 kilometres. I'm just looking at my colleagues to... I believe the section from Chibucca to Carland is around about 10 kilometres, but I'm just sort of trying to just do a quick scaling off the plan, but that it's in that sort of order.
Mr. Toft.
Mark, can I just ask, it's appropriate to answer the question later, but in Highways England's response on Action Point 11, they did give a number of calculations of time that it would take to go down the amended route, and I just would like some answer at some point as to whether that takes into account what the council have just said in terms of those additional speed limits.
Okay, so this was the response to 111.4, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think that was the answer to your question, wasn't
yes.
it, Mom? I was referring to action point 11 from the, sorry, this is the document, 817, comments on responses to hearing action points.
Thank you.
So for action
yes,
point
I'm
11.
With you now, yeah. Okay. So can we just ask whether that response did take account of the measures which the council would intend to put in place, please?
Okay, so that response at that time assumed the speed limit was the 60 mile an hour existing national speed limit that is in place over that section. We've subsequently been provided this plan by Cornwall Council, and I've undertaken modelling over the last few weeks to understand how those journey times might change with these speed limits in place. So I can talk through that today if required.
Thank you. I'm just wondering, do you want to do that as part of the general traffic flows
can do.
Section?
Yeah.
We'll put that
yeah.
there. Lovely. Thank you, Mr. Toff. So, Mr. Wright, just if I could come back to you. So we'll have some more information on the times that it may take to use that area later. But are your concerns a little allayed by the comments that there would be no change in the width? Does that assist at least?
Not really, no.
Okay.
You can see that the downgrading to a B road will see a lot more recreational use of that road, in particular cycles. And we all know that cycles and HGVs are not a good combination, even on a 6.1 metre wide roadway. If you notice now, the existing A30, when there is a cyclist on that road, causes quite a lot of traffic disruption. The speed limits clearly through Maras and Vaux are understandable, and bearing in mind that most HGVs are limited to 50 miles an hour wouldn't cause a great deal of disruption. I'm just worried basically that the downgraded road will become more of a recreational road. And that will cause a problem, meaning that heavy goods vehicles would have to reroute via the new A30.
And from your perspective, that would mean going to Chiverton Cross and up? Would that
it would. But the majority of the materials that we process come from further northeast. And quite a lot of the materials that we finally process again return northeast because that's the area of more population and more likely to have work in that area.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so thank you. I think we've got a good idea at present of what is proposed. I just wanted to run through the consultation process because I'm aware that there was discussion throughout the consultation process of the need for or lack of need for the east-facing slips. So I'd just like to be clear for everybody what the consultation process was and how we ended up where we are now in terms of the proposal that's before us. So, Mr. Boswell.
Madam, I'm going to ask Michael Baker of Arup to summarise that, but perhaps just to briefly point out something I'm sure you're aware of, that at no stage has Highways England proposed this or even come close to considering it was needed.
Thank you. Michael Baker, Highways England. So, as Mr. Boswell has said, overall, east-facing slip roads have never been proposed as part of scheme proposals or in the consultation materials that have been presented at all rounds of consultation. As detailed in the consultation report, the provision of east-facing slip roads was reviewed following non-statutory consultation and comments raised during the non-statutory consultation in 2016. And it was considered, following that review, that their provision was not justified based on the traffic flows, which Mr. Metcalfe will discuss later. There was a number of responses to the statutory consultation which was held in 2018, which did not include east-facing slips, and those responses stated that people would prefer their provision. Following the statutory consultation, the decision was not to provide east-facing slip was again reviewed, and it was concluded that their provision was not justified. So the proposals at Shybrook Junction have been subject to review, and that those reviews have been done to take into account the responses that were made at both rounds of consultation. And following each of these reviews, the provision has still not been justified. I can go into further detail about each stage of consultation if you would like, Madam Inspector.
That's fine. What I will do is I will ask simply Mr. Wright and Mr. Toft, or Mr. Parker, whether you have any questions with regard to the consultation process itself. No? Mr. Wright? No, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Baker. So what I'd like us to do then is to move on to traffic flows. So, Mr. Toft, when you made your responses for Mr. Parker, you carried out some analysis yourself. I'm saying yourself, but you sent in some analysis. What I'd like to understand is how that analysis was done, who did that analysis, so that I know where those figures came from, so that we can all understand the reliability of those figures. Thank you.
Thank you, Mom. If you have the 817, the comments on the responses to hearing action points, that's covered to some extent where the original data came from, mm-hmm. 4.1.5. It comes from the link flow traffic data, which, as Highways England set out, is presented in the scheme assessment report. Highways England can probably give you some more detail as to the technical side of those things, but there was a table which set out there were 5 points on a map, and traffic flow was recorded at each of those points. And if I can... So the original representation that was made 19th of March 2019, at the back of that representation was a table, which you're probably familiar with, Mom. So that was simply taking the data from table 2.1 and looking at what was the difference between each of those points. And that shows how a net number of vehicles either leaving or joining the A30 between those points. And Highways England correctly say that it doesn't actually tell you which way they're turning or how many vehicles are turning, but it does indicate to you the net difference in traffic between those two points. And the point that's made by Mr. Parker, as I said earlier, it's not just Chibucca. There are other junctions which are used along this route. The point made by Mr. Parker is that there is a net decrease in vehicles that are travelling eastbound along the A30 between points B and D, Chiverton to Chibucca and Zela Hill, and in the opposite way, there is a net decrease. Sorry, there's a net increase heading eastbound and there's a net decrease heading westbound. So that indicates that more traffic is coming off at those junctions between those points than is joining the A30 at those points and vice versa. So that indicates that on the link data, there is a need for east-facing, or that there is a demand, there's more demand for east-facing junctions than there are for west-facing junctions. And Mom, that's then presented pictorially in the presentation that we gave at the open floor hearing thereafter. Now, if I can just look through. So there was a net 1,548 vehicles that leave the A30 between Zealand Hill and east of Shibucca, and a net 1,422 join the A30. And the point also was made, Mom, that there is a suppressed demand. So vehicles coming out from Truro, you will have seen some of them trying to turn right at Shibucca and having to wait an amount of time. And therefore, the link data doesn't actually properly express the demand. It just simply shows the number of movements that are occurring. Does that answer that question, Mark?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Highways England, if I can ask you in the first instance, and Mr. Clayton, if you have any comments also, in terms of the use of the link data in this way, then perhaps, and if you have any questions for Mr. Toft as to his calculations, then that I'm sure he'd be able to help us also.
Julian Boswell for Highways England. I'm going to ask Mr. Metcalfe to address that, but I think you asked Mr. Toft who had done the analysis.
Apologies,
and I think
I
it would be helpful to understand what the position is on that.
Yes. Thank you. Mr. Toft.
Ma'am, it was done myself with Mr. Parker using the data that Highways England had provided. It's just simple maths with a spreadsheet.
And Mr. Toft, yourself or Mr. Parker, do either of you hold any qualifications in traffic data flow?
No, we don't, Ma'am, no.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, Tom Metcalfe on behalf of Highways England. Okay, I think an important point to note, as Mr. Toft has just said, the link flow data is calculated at fixed points along the network. So therefore, using simple maths, it is possible to do some calculations. But I think just some important points to note on the link flow data. It doesn't provide any information with regard to turning movements at junctions or the origins and destinations of those trips, or ultimately where those trips started and where they were eventually routing to. Therefore, the link flows, they can be used to inform, you know, a view of the traffic at that fixed location. And if there is a specific turning count adjoining that specific location, therefore, in that case, you would be able to calculate on that next link, you'd be able to have a good estimate of what the proportion of turning movements was. But basically, using that data alone, it isn't possible to calculate the flows upstream or downstream on any of those links further away. I think the other important point to note is, if we break that table down as proposed by Mr. Toft, if you look at the turning movements at the Shibucca Junction, the data clearly shows that at that site, there's a clear, there's clearly more demand for trips to use what would be the west-facing slips rather than the east-facing slips. Looking at the data east of that site, it is, you know, there is the maps does show that there is demand for what would be east-facing slips at Shibucca, but that's on the basis of the entire link east of Shibucca all the way to the Box Heater Junction. Now, if we go back to the map, we can clearly see that for those trips which come off at, say, Zila, if we could go back to the map, at Zila to route towards Truro, to come off, to route all the way down to very close to where the cursor is now, to come back to Truro, that is a very large increase in the overall distance that those trips would need to travel. Therefore, it isn't possible to make the assumption that all the trips which would come off or join the A30 at those junctions at Maras and Vaux, St. Frieda, Zila, would all route via what would be an east-facing slip at Shibucca.
So in terms of your traffic flow calculations, have you got information on the turning movements relevant to those link data?
Yeah.
And so you feel confident with the traffic flow data?
Yeah, so our traffic model is built it's built in line with the DfT's web tag, the Department for Transport's web tag approach, which is the standard methodology for building traffic models across the UK and is applied on all schemes. The model has been built following a comprehensive set of data collection in the form of link counts, junction turning counts, journey time data, and origin and destination surveys. So the model built in that form, we are confident in with the validation and calibration results that we achieve in line with the DfT guidance that our model accurately reflects the traffic network in this area.
Thank you. Mr. Tofford.
Mom, I think that's good to hear from Highways England. Mr. Parker did engage highway consultants to review the information provided, but the consultants haven't seen the data behind that model, and Highways England referred to it being there. There's a number of documents which are referred to in the documents in the examination library which aren't actually or have not been found in the examination library. So there's a number of PCF stage 3 documents referred to, including one combined modelling and appraisal report, which the highways consultants instructed by Mr. Parker inform him that the model was built with reference to matrices set out in that document, and also that junction turning flows analysis can be found in Appendix B of that document, and has set out those. Though all of those documents are not known to be available in the public domain, and that's caused Mr. Parker an issue in terms of the transparency of the evidence that's before them. The only evidence Mr. Parker has in order to base his evidence is the link count data that's been provided. So he's worked with what is available to him. He has instructed highways consultants, but without access to the comma report, they are unable to assist him further.
Can I ask Highways England to just comment on that point in terms of availability of data?
Madam, Julian Boswell for Highways England. We have a transport report submitted as part of, I think, pretty normal practice. We had extensive engagement with Cornwall. If Mr. Parker had come forward with the highways consultant, I'm sure we would have had a material engagement with him, and I'm pretty sure it's the case, looking at my colleagues, that we weren't aware that a highways consultant had been retained, and we're not aware of any engagement raising issues around data availability and so on. So a bit surprised to have the submission that's just been made.
Mr. Clayton, in terms of Cornwall's interaction with the traffic data, you obviously work with traffic data yourself also on a general working basis. Am I correct in assuming that to be the case? Do you have any concerns around the way that the web tag data has been used and how that has been developed?
Rick Clayton for Cornwall. No, we've worked closely with the Highways England Arab team on the traffic data and the traffic modelling, and we've reviewed it at key stages throughout the process. We've reviewed the technical work, the data collection report, and the comma report that's referred to, and are satisfied that they followed the appropriate guidance and methodology set out within the Department for Transport guidelines.
Mr. Toft, is there anything further in relation to availability of data or concerns? You'll have heard what Cornwall have had to say now in terms of their own review of the data.
Well, we're aware of that. It's within the Statement of Common Ground 7.4a, I believe, that the Council have accepted that. The point is that Mr. Parker accepts that you know, what you put into the model determines what you get out of it, and he doesn't have any objection in terms of what comes out of the model, as long as what goes in is correct. And not having seen that information, it's difficult for him to accept the outputs, not knowing what the inputs are. If he sees the inputs and accepts that they're correct, then by logic, he has to accept the outputs. In terms of, you know, if that data was made available to Mr. Parker, that would that may well reassure him that the outputs are correct.
Highways England have any comments in relation to that?
Julian Boswell for Highways England. We've never been asked for that data. There's never been an attempt to engage in the way that Mr. Toft is now suggesting, and we're, you know, as far through the examination as we are. Yes, again, just reiterating the surprise that this sort of line of submission is being made. The linked data is clearly being used in a way that doesn't bear the kind of interpretations that Mr. Tofts is trying to put on it, and that is, I'm instructed that any competent traffic modeller would have made that point immediately. Yes, it feeds into the overall analysis, but if you're doing a proper traffic modelling assessment, you have to do what's already been explained, and so it just doesn't really carry any material weight to make the kind of points that Mr. Tofts is making.
Mr. Toft, can I ask you when you had a traffic consultant involved in the process?
Yes, ma'am. They were instructed post the response. This is the comments on responses to the hearing action points. So having received those points, they were instructed subsequent to that. And it was at that point that they have given us that information. So it was following the open floor hearing, the points were raised, and the response was then given. Thereafter, they were instructed.
And have they given you a specific list of the information that they felt that they would need to be able to check the data, if I put it that way?
Yes, ma'am, they have, yes. Yeah.
And can you just clarify what that is?
There are 6 PCF Stage 3 documents, so the Traffic Data Collection Report, Local Model Validation Report, Appraisal Specification Report, Traffic Forecasting Report. I think the main one, from my understanding, is the Combined Modelling and Appraisal Report, Distributional Impact Report, and then there's an Operational Assessment Technical Note also referred to, which they've not seen.
And these were all referred to in the Transport Report?
That's correct, ma'am, yes.
I'm not going to ask how large those documents are, but I imagine that some are at least quite large. How easy would it be if we wished to access that data?
Tom Metcalf on behalf of Highways England. Those documents are all summarised in the Transport Report, so the main findings of each of those documents are set out in that report. Given that that report is informed by the detail in each of those separate reports, I don't see any reason why they couldn't be provided.
Okay. So if we were to provide those, Mr. Toft, I would be looking at a very, very quick turnaround in terms of any response that your consultant may wish to make, and I mean very quick. Is that possible?
Ma'am, they've been quick so far in terms of the instruction we've given them since the receipt of the information from Highways England. I'd have to speak to them in terms of exactly how long, but they have so far been able to respond quickly. And I think it is a simple case of validation. It's not
you know, a huge task as far as I'm aware, and obviously Mr. Parker is not somebody with an unlimited budget, so he wouldn't be able to undertake that in any event.
Okay. So I'm considering saying that what I would like to do is to see those documents put in. Can I ask how, is that something that could be done straight away? They're literally on a website somewhere.
Madam, Julian Boswell for Highways England. Yes, we can submit all of those documents. I can't help, if I may, just making a general observation that in terms of the judgment that those documents have sort of founded, i.e. not to provide the east-facing slips, it wasn't a borderline case. It was a long, long way away from there ever being a serious proposition that the demand justified that. So I think it may just be helpful for everybody to bear that in mind in terms of what the purpose is of this exercise.
Thank you, Mr. Boswell. So, and in terms of actually being able to deliver them, are we talking about something that could be done today or, yep, we're happy there. So, Mr. Toft, if we can get delivery of those documents today, I would need to look to my colleague as to when they could actually go onto our website, but it may be that Highways England could share them directly also to save us time. I would be saying that I would want response back within 7 days as to any concerns raised. And I say that bearing in mind that I've heard from Cornwall Council who have been more heavily involved in the process. And I'm quite sure that had Highways England been approached at an earlier stage, they would have been able to share data at an earlier stage also. So that's why I'm putting a very short timescale on things. Do you understand? Is that understandable?
I do understand, Mom. If I may, I will email the consultants when a break comes, and
yes,
if there's any huge problem with that, well, then I will let you know. But otherwise, I understand the position, certainly, Mom.
Thank you.
Madam, so
sorry,
to confirm, we're only proposing to provide these documents electronically.
Yes.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, I don't think we need to kill more trees, so that's fine. One of the questions I did just want to ask in terms of the traffic flows, Mr. Metcalf, I think you'll be able to assist me with this. In terms of the additional traffic that we're looking at running down through Short Lanes End, was modelling done? I know that there was modelling done with and without east-facing slips on the main flow. Did that modelling show what would happen with Short Lanes End as well? Do I have that data? And if so, where do I find it?
Yeah, Tom Metcalf on behalf of Highways England. Yes, so we have modelled a scenario with west-facing slips only, and then in the combination of the west-facing and east-facing slips. That model is a strategic model of the network as a whole, so we do then get the downstream flow through Short Lanes End. There's a hell of a lot of data set out in those reports, but I can direct you. I'm not sure aware of what table number is now,
okay,
but
I can
let you know what
Thank
where you.
You
can find that specific
Lovely.
Data.
Thank you. So in terms of the traffic flows and the traffic modelling, I have no further questions. What I'm intending to do is that we'll take an adjournment shortly and we can have a look for that information. But I want to know if there are any other questions that anyone has whilst we have Mr. Metcalf here available to us in terms of the traffic modelling. Mr. Toft.
Yeah, there was a reference earlier to some amended data in respect of the speed limits.
The
so
times.
If they could be provided at the same time, that would be helpful.
I mean, would it be useful? Is that something that we have electronically or on paper, the change times? Is that useful to go through that now?
Tom Metcalf on behalf of Highways England, I can summarise that now.
Yes.
I think as part of the note which is currently on the screen,
mm-hmm.
we provided a number of journey time a number of journey time tables through the model, and I have in front of me here the results of some additional work that we've done based on that diagram, which I can talk you through and then summarise after so we can get it as part of the examination. So I think, and hopefully this addresses Mr. Wright's interest as well, because we've selected a journey time route through the modelled area from the Calistic area through to Carlin Cross. So can we go back to the diagram? Yeah, to the note, and scroll down to... Yeah, if we could scroll down to table 4.2. Sorry. So table 4.2 there sets out the journey time data for the route between Calistic and Carlin Cross via the existing A30 route. So from that data, so that would be accessing at the Chibucker Junction. So from that data, we can see that in 2038, in the due minimum scenario, so without the scheme in place, that journey in the westbound direction, so from Carlin Cross to Calistic, would take 15 minutes and 6 seconds. With the scheme in place, that would take 10 minutes and 20 seconds. Reversing that and going in the opposite direction, so from Calistic to Carlin Cross in the PM peak, would take 16 minutes 40 seconds in the due minimum scenario, 10 minutes 21 seconds in the due something scenario. And that the reason for that journey time saving is predominantly due to significant reductions in traffic flows on the existing A30, making it a lot easier for the traffic from the Calistic area to access the existing A30 and then continue with their onward journey. Now, as has rightly been pointed out, that is on the basis of a 60 mile an hour limit, a national speed limit being retained over that section, which from the information which we've recently been handed by Cornwall Council, we've been able to plug that information into the model to generate what would be a new number for the do something scenario. And I can provide this information, but the do minimum columns in that table would remain exactly the same because nothing changes in that scenario. But the 1640 comparison against the 1021, the 10 minutes 21 would be replaced with 12 minutes 23 seconds, which clearly demonstrates that there is still a large journey time saving for any trips which would be making that journey under that scenario.
Thank you.
So that increase in time reflects the change in speed limits over the sections as shown on as provided on the plan by Cornwall Council.
Thank you. So you have a new table that you'll be putting forward?
I have a new table which we can submit.
Thank you. Mr. Wright, do you have any questions in relation to that, having looked at those journey times? Does that assist you in terms of your forward planning? I've heard what you have to say about the cycling issue and recreational issue, but just in terms of general journey times.
Oh, on the whole, that's encouraging news.
Thank you. Mr. Toft.
Mum, just maybe I didn't hear Mr. Clayton correct. Sorry, I've looking at in terms of local impact report, so it's related to this point about the times. Just looking at local, maybe I didn't hear Mr. Clayton correctly. I thought he said 40 and 50 mile per hour zones, but on the map it's showing a 30 mile per hour zone and gateway features. Now I may have missed that, but I just wanted
I think
to
that's at Marazan Vos, yes. Isn't it, where we've got that?
So I'm assuming that the 30 is included as well, because maybe I misheard Mr. Clayton.
So, sorry, that the times that we've got coming forward now, can we just check that, Mr. Metcalf, that includes, that's all taken from this document?
Yes, so our modelling is in line with that plan as it's shown there.
Thank you. Does that help? Thank you. All right. Is there anything else on traffic times, traffic flows, traffic modelling that anyone wishes to ask or state put forward?
Madam, Julian Boswell for Highways England. I think it may assist if we put in details of Mr. Metcalf's professional qualifications, just so that you've got that for the record.
Yes, thank you. All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I think what we'll do, we'll just take a 10-minute break for everybody. So, Mr. Wright, if I could ask you to introduce yourself to Miss Evans, who's at the back of the room there on the computer, right behind you by the door. Then we've got some information to come in terms of how quickly you can turn around documents and how quickly you can then make any response to them. All right, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take 10 minutes and come back at 11:15. Thank you, we're adjourned.